Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Carmanah Technologies Corporation Third Quarter 2017 Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listening mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. Before beginning its formal remarks, Carmanah would like to remind listeners that certain portions of today's discussion may contain forward-looking statements that reflect views with respect to future events. Any such statements are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those projected in these forward-looking statements. For more information on the forward-looking statements and the company's risks and uncertainties relating to such forward-looking statements, please read Carmanah's annual report as filed on SEDAR and which is also posted on their website, www.carmanah.com. All currency amounts are expressed in U.S. dollars with the exception of the company's TSX-listed share price, which is quoted in Canadian dollars. The company's financial statements are prepared in accordance with IFRS or International Financial Reporting Standards. During this call, the company may also refer to adjusted EBITDA, a non-IFRS financial measure, which is calculated as earnings before interest, income taxes, amortization, stock-based compensation, and various one-time charges, which are detailed in their publicly filed management discussion and analysis. Carmanah uses this metric internally in addition to others to make strategic decisions and evaluate their performance. If anyone has any difficulties hearing the conference, please press star zero for operator assistance at any time. I would like to remind everyone that this conference call is being recorded today, Wednesday, November 15th, 2017, at 6:00 A.M. Pacific Time, 9:00 A.M. Eastern Time. I would now like to turn the conference call to Mr. John Simmons, Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, operator. Good morning. As the operator said, I'm John Simmons, and I'm pleased to be joined on this call by Evan Brown, our Chief Financial Officer. Last night after the close of market, we released our third quarter results, which are now on SEDAR. As is our normal practice in these calls, Evan and I'll make a few opening comments, and then open the floor for questions from the analysts and shareholders. I think we'll get started with the financial review. Evan?
Thank you, John, and good morning to everyone on the call. As the operator mentioned, we do report in U.S. dollars, and all references to amounts on this call are published in U.S. dollars unless otherwise stated. Before I jump into specifics, I always like to remind everyone that we fully expect lumpiness in our revenues as they're largely project-based, coinciding longer than normal sales cycles. I'd also like to stress that trying to extrapolate year-over-year or quarter-over-quarter trends is not a realistic metric given these expectations. In the third quarter 2017, we generated consolidated revenues of $14.5 million. Our signals revenue was $13.8 million, and our illumination revenue was $700,000. In the quarter, we also completed the acquisition of Vega Industries, which contributed $1 million to our signals revenue. Also described in our MD&A, the transition from our legacy outdoor lighting product to our new EverGen offering has significantly reduced our illumination revenue during the quarter and the year. Order backlog at the start of the quarter was $6.6 million. In the quarter, we booked $15.7 million, and we finished the quarter with backlog of $7.7 million. Gross margin percentage in the second quarter was 37.4%. The significant reduction relates to an $800,000 inventory write-down in our illumination division for inventory made obsolete by the development of our new EverGen product offering. Absent this inventory write-down, our gross margin percentage would have been 43%. Operating expenses in the third quarter were up 5% year-over-year, primarily due to the inclusion of Vega in our operating expenses. Net income in the third quarter was $300,000, down from $1.1 million year-over-year, primarily due to the inventory write-down. Adjusted EBITDA in the third quarter was $2.4 million, or 17% of revenue. As of September 30th, our cash balance was $32 million, with $32 million, with bank debt of $7 million. Subsequent to quarter end, we closed a substantial issuer bid to purchase 6 million shares at $5 Canadian per share. In addition, we collected $1.1 million in a working capital adjustment related to the sale of GoPower. Taking all this into effect, the net cash balance would have been $1 million. I think I'll leave it there and pass it back to you, John.
Okay, Evan, thank you. I only have a few comments prior to opening for questions. To start, I'll remind the listeners, as Evan mentioned, of two significant events that came to fruition right at the beginning of our third quarter, our divestiture of GoPower, our off-grid power business, and the acquisition of New Zealand-based Vega Industries. We described these events in some detail during our last quarterly call, so I won't do so again, but I raised these only to say that during the third quarter, our focus was very much on integrating Vega and adjusting to the carve-out of GoPower. We have a well-considered integration plan for Vega that includes a degree of product rationalization, some overhead reductions, and most importantly, the generation of sales synergies. During the third quarter, we removed a significant amount of overhead by eliminating management redundancies and by redrawing sales relationships for Vega to the Sabic Marine sales and marketing team. These changes were completed smoothly and on schedule. Our team's next task is to build sales synergies, a process that includes making certain Vega products available to the Sabic Marine distributors, and similarly, making some Sabic Marine products available to Vega distributors. We hope to see positive sales results growing from this work in the quarters to come. On this side of the world, our third quarter was preoccupied with adjusting to the carved-out sale of GoPower. While GoPower was not a strategic fit for Carmana, it was a significant revenue producer and commanded lots of support from our Victoria-based shared services overhead. On closing, several long-term and highly skilled members of our Victoria overhead team left with GoPower. This made for organization changes as we right-sized staff numbers and altered functions throughout the quarter. In all, the carve-out was smooth, but it took lots of focus, and I'm really pleased by the work of all of our teams. I have just one more comment before questions. Q3 saw some pretty significant changes to our board of directors, major shareholders, and capital structure as well. In the quarter, Michael Sonnenfeld resigned as chairman of our board and significantly reduced his Carmana holdings. You know, Michael joined the Carmana board at a particularly bleak time in our corporate history, and it was his enthusiasm and sponsorship for this company that ignited our turnaround. I want to thank him for his efforts. But I'm also grateful that Jim Mikkelsen has not only stepped into our board chair role, but has also added to his already substantial investment in Carmana and is now our largest shareholder. I personally have a long history of working with Jim, and I know that his considerable experience and judgment will have a big impact on Carmana. As a backdrop to these board and shareholder changes, we also launched a substantial issuer bid designed to make our balance sheet more efficient and sized appropriately for our current business and plans. The bid reduced our total outstanding shares by about 25%, providing great value leverage for our remaining shareholders. So I think I'll leave it at that. Operator, we're happy now to receive questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. If you're using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone phone. Our first question is from Justin Keywood with GMP Securities.
Good morning, and thanks for taking my call.
Morning, Justin.
I just wanted to get some clarification on the illumination segment. The mention of some production issues in the transition of legacy products, did that show up at all in last quarter, or was last quarter just typical lumpiness there?
No, it was, frankly, I think it's been a year-long problem for us, Justin, and I'm not sure it's over yet. We suffered with some development delays. So in other words, our product development timeline was extended. We expected to be completing this product platform, new product platform, in the first quarter of this year with expectation that we'd be shipping at the beginning of the second quarter. And we had time overruns in terms of development, so that elongated the timeline for development and obviously delayed the launch of this this product or this new product platform. And and it put our sales team in a particularly awkward position of heralding a new product that wasn't quite ready to ship, and yet still trying to meet customer needs with a product that was a product platform that was end of life. So I think that is. Is more of the cause than would be the normal lumpiness that we would see in the in this business. And the story gets better, even or worse, I should say. We were then plagued with some unexpected components shortages, not particularly unique components, but components that are populated on the circuit boards of this new product, and it has further lengthened some of our production delays. So we are shipping now, but we are not shipping in large quantities, and we don't expect to be at the point to be where we are shipping smoothly with short lead times until the beginning of the new year. So I think this is a problem that will plague us through the remainder of this calendar year.
Okay, that's helpful color. And when production does stabilize next year, is it fair to assume that this business could kind of rebound to historical levels like 2016, or should we have some more moderate expectations?
Yeah, also a great question. I'm a diehard fan of this business, and I have been all along. And yet, our results in illumination have been obviously declining as we become more focused and have been developing new products and are, fraught with some of the problems that I've just described. And sometimes you have to worry a little bit when you're in a role like mine as to whether you have, you're seeing things clearly. And, not that long ago, I convened an informal board meeting where that was titled, is Illumination a Great Opportunity or a CEO's Blind Spot? And so I went through the rationale for my love affair with this business and why I think it has great potential in the future, and I had my my board colleagues examine and grill me on the logic behind it, and have come back affirming our interest in this business going forward. So I would expect that we will begin this road to sales recovery, not just to 2016 levels, but frankly, we were putting this time and energy into this business because we have much larger expectations for the business sort of going forward. As to how long it takes and specific projections, obviously we won't share those things, but we think that this has greater growth potential than almost anything else we're doing.
Okay, that's good color. And then just as a broader picture, how I understood the business prior was an opportunity to grow it to $100 million or more in revenue and have good EBITDA margins with that. Does that goal change at all with the substantial issuer bid, implying maybe less transitional or transformational acquisitions that are out there in the market today?
No, I don't think it changes it at all. Before we landed on the on our decision to do the substantial issuer bid, we went through, Evan and I went through a long forecasting and planning session where we identified both the strategic acquisitions, the cash flow from operations, and sort of set that out over a five-year plan. And quite frankly, we found that we had more cash than we could possibly deploy profitably and practically in this business, or I should have said prudently in this business. And so we still are interested in making acquisitions. We still have active discussions underway, and we have sufficient cash and senior debt capacity to meet those needs going forward. So there is no change in plan.
Okay. Thank you for taking my questions.
Thanks, Justin.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, for any questions, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. Our next question is from Raveel Afzal from Canaccord Genuity.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. So with respect, can you speak a little bit about the different types of products that are out there competing with you guys on the outdoor lighting business, if you have seen any innovation in those products as well that are competing with you, or are they still mostly from India and China? And just speak about the competitive environment, please.
Well, there's still, there's still a variety of different solar-powered products there. I would say that virtually all of the suppliers are small and fledgling players in our target market, which is North America. There are only a handful of players. Our competition reveal is really not other solar lighting providers, but really it's grid tied street lighting, parking lot lighting, and pathway lighting. And we see our ability to grow our sales in the future at the expense of the grid. And specifically to your question, we don't see anything happening with any other solar providers, solar lighting providers, that is unique. And in fact, we think we have the most unique product line with our in our new Evergen series.
Right, and if you could, and if to the extent possible, can you quantify how you think Evergen is going to improve your, get you guys closer to cost parity compared to the grid, compared to your previous products, or any other metrics that you can share with us that shows how this could impact your penetration rate going forward?
I can. These are reasonably technical aspects, but I'm happy to. The Evergen product uses luminaires that generate about 150 lumens or light at the rate of about 150 lumens per watt, which is significantly higher than our past generation of products that were generating light at about 100 lumens per watt. We're using solar panels that are more efficient than the earlier versions, now converting energy in the sun's energy at about 22 or 23% of as opposed to earlier generations in the 17 or 18%, so that's an improvement. But most importantly, we've created a new energy management system that's optimized for for every type of battery chemistry that's commercially available, so it gives us the ability to match storage requirements to specific projects. And each of these products is equipped with a satellite radio and connectivity, so that we are, and that opens up a world of possibilities sort of for us to both connect these products to smart cities initiatives, as well as potentially provide service offerings and to maintain much tighter control over the operation of these products moving forward.
Perfect. And just one last one for me. Any way to quantify the traction that you guys are gaining on the telematics side in terms of new customer adds, interest, or any other data to that effect?
So our telematics first product offer is like our illumination product has suffered some delays in not in production per se, but in gaining approvals. It's the first time that Carmanah has built an intrinsically safe product meeting the highest of worldwide standards, and I think we underestimated the time and effort required to go through the approval processes. So we expected to be shipping this first product to our first customer in the third quarter, and we will now be shipping in the first quarter of 2018. So a little delayed there, and we are working on a number of other initiatives, but quite frankly, I don't think we're going to make tremendous progress until our first product is being shipped and evaluated by the market.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay. Thanks, Raveel.
At this time, we have no further questions. I'd like to turn the call back to John Simmons for closing remarks.
Okay, well, thanks, everyone. I appreciate your time and attendance on the call. As always, we can be reached if there are further questions or clarifications of our publicly released information, and invite you to do so by calling our office or connecting us or connecting with us through our website. Thanks very much, operator, and I think we'll close at that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference call for today. If you have any further questions, please call our Carmanah's Investor Relations toll number at 1-877-722-8877. Thank you for participating. Please disconnect.